Right now, turn in the book of Haggai. I'm reading from chapter 2, verse 4. Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord. We're going to refer to the entire book, but in that verse alone, three things come to mind in that text. Notice the need revealed by God's command, the responsibility resting upon the people in view of the need, and finally, the encouragement given that they could fulfill their responsibility. The need, the responsibility, the encouragement, all of these things are vital to a successful life, really, to realize what the need is, what our responsibilities are, and what encouragement that God can give. So what was the need here? Well, if you back up into the first chapter, he says the need was to build the house of God. Why do we have a need to build the house of God? He says, because it's neglected and laying in ruins. The supreme obligation in life in every believer is to build the house of God. And that takes many shapes and forms throughout history. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, we're told that the house of God is the church of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And since the church is the house of God, we're under obligation and we have the responsibility to build it. There's a need and there's a responsibility to fulfill that need, and I'm glad to be able to say you're not left alone to do it. God says, I'm going to give you the encouragement, and we'll see what that encouragement really is. But in the days of Haggai, the need was the building of a physical, material building. Now, why was it important for them to gather around this building in ruins? It was because that building was built to be and originally was the rallying point for the people of God. It was a place of worship. It was a place of prayer. And a matter of fact, the Lord himself calls it in the New Testament the house of prayer for all the nations. But today, the house of God is not only a material building, but it's a whole new building that God has deigned to build. And it's a spiritual thing. If you were to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, reads thusly, do you not know? And you know, when the Apostle Paul asked that question, don't you think there's a reason for he says, do you not know? Possibility that they really didn't know. And I think this is probably, when I begin to explain this, this is the most neglected part of the building and the most critical part of the building that there is. Do you not know that your body, think of that, your body, my body, what value is there in this body? It is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You were bought at a price, a great price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Your body, temple of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, along with all of the New Testament revelation of Paul in Colossians, where he says, this is the mystery that's been hidden from the ages that not even the prophets knew. And he said, I'll tell you that mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I preached that for some time. And I preach it to myself mostly, because there's sometimes that we believe this as a concept. We believe it as an ideology. We believe it as a doctrine. And many people say, oh yeah, I believe that. But it isn't a question of necessarily believing it here. It's allowing that. Now I understand that all truth begins with knowing what it is. In other words, you can't understand it if you don't know it. That's why Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And obviously, and reason he asked that, look at the church, read the book of Corinthians, the divisions, the clashes, all that was going on in the church. And he's saying, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God. And you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit. Your spirit people. We forget that inside of us is a human spirit. And God's spirit ties himself, links himself, wells himself to your spirit. So that now he can speak to you. This is what the word meditation, you can meditate on the Lord, because now internally God can do some talking if you wait upon the Lord. A lot of people say, I believe that. And so few people, I think of the years I preached this truth in New Jersey, I don't know one person that ever got any hold on anything like that. Nothing.
Just curious.
And Lakeside, some did it there. Think of old Willie Dismore. Nobody grabbed hold of that truth and exhibited it more than Willie. He just knows saving life in Christ. But it starts in your head. But if that's the only place it gets, it's a doctrine. I thought, you know, we're so filled with doctrines. This book that I hold in my hand, this sermon book, look at all the sermons. Every one of those sermons is on some great doctrine. The doctrine of providence, the doctrine of angels, the works of God. The doctrine of the church, the doctrine of repentance, the doctrines of symbols of the Holy Spirit, the symbols of the Spirit, the doctrine of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of justification, part two, the pre-existence of Christ, the unpardonable sin, all of that, all doctrine. And wonderful, it's good. But if that's all I know is doctrine, great doctrines, systematic truth, I've lost something in the process. You see, some preachers, this is why some seminaries are turning out preachers. They're bright intellectually. They know languages, but they really don't know the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit, bring the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ to them so that they're conscious of the reality of Christ. And to be very honest, for so many years, I preached it as a doctrine. I believed it as a doctrine. But God has, in these last years, slowly in my dim-witted mind, making that an established truth, that I don't own this body, that He does. And that, I don't know if you ever sat up and in quietness and just said, Lord Jesus, I just offer up this body. It's really quoting Romans 12, isn't it?
Living.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. And when we present it and mean it and say, Lord, I want to really know you. And notice Paul says, Lord Jesus, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection, didn't he? And the fellowship of your sufferings. Now, Pastor, I prayed the first part, but I have not asked the Lord to endure the fellowship of his sufferings. That I haven't gone that far. Not that far yet. Just the power of his resurrection. That's enough for me. And then turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Notice, God has said, I will dwell in them. And the word dwell means make abode. God wants to settle down in your life. He doesn't want your prayer, Lord Jesus, I need you now, I love you now, and take care of me now. And then 6 months later, Lord, I have this need. You get me? It's not a drive-in restaurant. He wants to settle down and have direction in your life and mine. That's his dwell. I will dwell in them. And the King James says, walk in them. It's the here they put it, walk among them. I don't know. I think that's a little weak myself. I know they're honing back to the wilderness where God walked among them in the cloud and so forth. Possibly. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. But then he says, I will be their God. And therefore they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Nothing can be more important to God than building this house. Just as God said to them, come and build my house. It was a material building. It was the rallying point for the presence of God, for the people of God to come together. And so therefore, when your body and my body is committed to Jesus Christ, when the church meets together, then it's a rallying place for the glory of God to be manifested. And people will then, when they walk in, they will sense the presence of God among them. It'll just be radiating. You won't know it. God doesn't show you that. He shows them that. If you knew that, you'd be blown up with pride. You get me? God doesn't let you know it. So we have a responsibility to build this house. That's the need. What's the responsibility? He says, be strong and work. And whenever you're going to build anything, whether it's a material house or whether you're going to build your soul up in God, it's work. You're not going to get it with two-minute prayers. You're going to spend time in the presence of God and then opening when the Word of God and meditating therein. And Psalm 1 says, meditating in my laws day and night. So meditation. And in my, I showed Dr. Ted when, in that Psalm 1, if you look over in my, he didn't have a center column, I do. It says about meditate, pondering and talking to yourself. Really, that's what it is. When you're meditating on God, you're talking, you know, God is ministering to you and you're saying, God, I want this. I want to know this. Oh, Lord. You begin to talk to yourself to what you really desire from Him. That's how the house is built. That's the responsibility. And He says, notice, be strong. What does that infer? Weakness. And you many times, you know, I felt real weakness before I came here today. I didn't know what was wrong, actually. So I just commanded the Lord, and God gives strength. He says, when you're weakness, I'll be strong. I'll be made strong. So that's our responsibility, to be strong and work. And I'll guarantee you, when you really get into prayer, when you really get into the Word, that's work. Ask any of these men who do it. Am I right, preacher?
It also says, let the weak say, I am strong.
Yeah, amen, yeah. Pastor did a little booklet. It's a small booklet, but he put 80 hours into that booklet on Psalm 119. It's work. Getting into the Word is work. Building this body in this temple that is work. It's not easy. So they needed to be strong. This obviously was their failing. And you find the weakness by looking at the prophecy in verse 2 of chapter 1. Back in Haggai, yeah. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, the people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. It isn't time. Isn't that startlingly modern, isn't it? It's modern. It's not the time. What's the modern way of putting it this way? I don't have the time to help build the house of God. I'm busy. I've got a family. I've got a job. I've got this. I've got that.
That's what everybody says, even in politics, even in governing, even in life itself. Someone comes up and says, this is something we should do. Well, it's too soon to do that. We say that all the time in every realm of life.
Yeah.
Because we don't want.
He said, well, you've got time to build your fancy houses. Notice verse 4. It is time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple lies in ruins. Dave, I was telling Dave Mattis this morning, I said, I'm going to teach this book of Haggai. And he remembered. He said, in New Jersey, he said, that's what helped get you run out of there, man. I preached this. And literally. Now, North Jersey, where I was, is the second richest county in America. Okay?
That's where I lived.
Well, you were rich, Josh. Yeah. So you were one of those loaded women, you know, laden with cash and all that. And that's where I lived. And they all had gorgeous homes. And I'd been out in there, and we didn't even have a baptistry. The basement was in ruins, so I get up in the pulpit without a permit. And I got up and I preached this I've been to your homes. You live in panel houses. And this house of God is in ruins. We don't have a baptistry. The basement isn't finished. And yet we've got all beautiful homes to live in. Boom. Yeah, I've really hit some toes on that one. It's not time to build your fancy houses and live in comfort while the house of God is in disrepair. As long as there's an empty chair in this church, think of it, the church needs repair, doesn't it? As long as there's an empty church, a chair, think of it, there should be some lost soul sitting there hearing the word of God. Yeah. So important that we just realize that there's a needy soul outside. The Southern Baptists now have a program called You're One. They're promoting, right?
Yes.
And it's that's You're One. That's Your One. They're challenging every member in the convention to get one person, because they realize preaching, going out and witness to the masses of people, just the general witness, not happening. So they boiled it down. They realized there's supposedly some 30,000 members, 30 million members of Southern Baptist Convention, as I remember it, 40,000 churches. I just think if every one of those would just take one person, pray for them, tell your story. Don't just go in and try to slap them with the plan of salvation. Just tell them what Jesus means to you. And then as they open up, then you can share the plan of salvation. Simple. And so this is what is happening, and I hope really happens, that everybody gets one person on their heart. You know, maybe somebody that you feel could use this, that are struggling in their Christian lives, that could use this Bible study for a place of spiritual growth and development. You know, just get them on your heart. Maybe they're already saved, but they're not growing in grace and knowledge of Christ. God wants that as much as winning, because if they really grow, they're going to be a witness. Can't help but be. And he says to them, because of your prosperity, we've become weak. And isn't that true in America? And it's true always throughout history. When Israel, and God even says so, when you've grown fat, he says, you've kicked. You rise up against God and go your own way. You forget God because you're so anxious and so mesmerized by the creature comforts that in this world. Do we have an excuse to say it's not time yet for the house of God to be built? For us to grow in our own person, and then as that growth takes place, I begin to witness to other people? If I have a spiritual life, I'll find time to work for God. And then he says, the responsibility that we have is to be strong in work. Work, for the night is coming when no man can work. Occupy till I come. The word of the Lord has always been and always will be. Occupy. Reach out. Serve him. That's our responsibility. To just be available to God to build the house of God. And finally, in closing, the last note is, he tells them, as you go about this process, I want you to know I have a note of encouragement for you. So the prophet not only drew attention to the need, not only the strength for the work, but he gives them the promise of encouragement to do the work. Chapter 1, verse 13 of Haggai. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. I am with you. And in the New Testament, he says, I am with you, church, even unto the end of the age. I am with you. If we could only come to that realization of his living presence, then we would have the strength to build the house and be the witness that God wants us to be. What the church needs is a fresh vision of Christ and a new consciousness of the fact that we are his temple. Be strong and work at building the house of God. You know what I just said that's all about? Building and recognizing this body as to what it is and who it's for. Be strong and work, for he is with you in the doing. Why? Because it is his church. It's his building, and we're only involved in the having the joyous privilege of assisting the Lord in the building of his church. May God grant it so for each and every one of us as we leave here today to kind of make that reality commitment. Lord, whether you do it here in this moment or whether you would rather take time when you have time at night to just do Romans 12, present your bodies to the Lord, wholly, completely, and say, Lord, I give it over. It's yours. It's what I want. You won't be perfect. You'll still fail. But you'll always have the presence of God with you to bring you out of whatever failure there is. No one is perfect. No one ever will be perfect. Only one is and was. Well, let's close in prayer today, shall we?